BBC.
Radio 1.
BBC Radio 1 free downloads.
It's 1 o'clock. I'm Ben, I'm 22, and I'm from Liverpool. You might not know this, but I got fresh with Lily Allen on a plane. Anyway, now it's time for my favourite show on the radio. Scott Mills!
BBC Radio 1.
So it's Monday and here's the podcast featuring the first in the new season of 24 Years at the Tap End, my mate Chris's autobiography. I know a lot of you missed it live, so get ready. That's first. Also, Becky and Chris and their imaginary son Maximus with another score orchestra recital. We give another business idea to Deborah Meaden to see if she wants to invest her money, real or no real. And is a meal in a restaurant better when the waiter or waitresses pretend to fancy you? It's all coming up. Hello, Ryan McCarthy, who is all ready for new Tap End, and Sid, who has set off from college early just so he can listen to the new season. So I think we're ready to go. Here it is, the return of 24 Years at the Tap End, Season 2. Now, a while back, a few months ago, my friend Chris here saw that everybody is releasing and writing autobiographies. Lol. And who inspired you to do this?
I think it was Brendan from Coach Trip.
So you saw his autobiography.
Yeah.
Thought, why not? Yeah, why don't I do my own?
Mm.
And we've been reading out excerpts on air, chapters on the show, and it's been a surprise hit. And now you've got to the stage where we're at season two and you seem to have recorded your own theme tune.
Yeah.
I can't wait to hear this. I've not heard this. Okay, shall I press play?
Yeah, go.
I've boshed banter in Prague. I've dressed up as a Smurf. I've swapped lives with a German. Bought strip pens in France. I've covered teachers in sunscreen, nearly drowned in some foam. I had a naked massage, me and my mates had a laugh. I did 24 years at the Tap End. At the Tap End.
I really like it. It's quite sweet.
Do you like it?
It's quite folky.
I was thinking Gavin and Stacey in my head. You know, the sort of opening of that.
And a bit Royal Family as well. It's a bit farm music, but I quite like it. That's really sweet.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Is that a keeper?
Absolutely.
I can work on that some more.
For me it is, yeah. All right, so you've heard the theme tune. Now, here, 24 Years at the Tap End, the new season premiere now.
I'd like to take you to my 18th year at the Tap End, if you're keen.
I've missed this. I am keen.
Becky?
Okay, then.
Becky seems unsure today.
No, it's because you always say, I'd like to take blah, 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 if you're keen. It's like, well, that's the only one you've got, so we have to say yes.
Yeah.
I'm very keen.
Good.
I'm ready.
Ready?
Okay, I'm sitting comfortably and I am ready.
Ready.
And I'm ready.
But you never are, though, because you always have to do a last-minute adjust of your chair. Because you always go, and I'm ready. And then it starts.
Right. I was well into my first week at Southampton University. Fresh as flu had yet to take grip, and generally everything was going okay. I was adapting to uni life and had even cooked a couple of my own meals and constructed a laundry bag to store dirty washing in. You learn all these tricks of the trade as you are forced to survive on your own. And much like Bear Grylls, my natural instincts and survival skills were doing me good so far.
Same.
For the first month or so at uni, I was having to share a room with someone. It was always agreed that he would end up keeping the room, and I would be the one that had to move out when the uni had found me alternative accommodation. And tensions were beginning to emerge because of this. He was from Scunthorpe, and although we had a lot in common, he liked girls and football, he was increasingly starting to treat the room like his own. I once walked in on him, naked, wearing one of my socks, and not on his feet.
One?
Yeah.
On his...
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Why?
I obviously caught him at a private moment.
Why your socks, though? Why not his own socks?
Well, it was obviously
was
just
one
first
of those
thing to
people?
Hand. I think it was because I constructed that laundry bag. It was like...
He
just fished it out, didn't he?
I came in and he wasn't properly covered by his cover. It was sort of half on, half off, but I could see the sock.
I think that
it was mine.
He decided on that last minute.
Have you got really small feet or has he got a...
Well, no, it was a standard. It was a size 9 sock.
Right. But and it wasn't fully covering it. Oh my God!
No, no, no.
Size 9.
Who is this guy?
I meant the covers of the bed weren't fully covering him.
When you said it wasn't fully covering it,
no.
I thought you meant the sock wasn't fully covering his.
No.
And then you said it was a size 9. And I'm like, oh my God, where is he?
Well, no, I saw the sock. I looked away. I wasn't going to sort of look to see how much it. I didn't mind that so much. It was just annoying as I didn't have many socks.
You didn't mind that?
No, it was for me. It was more annoying because I just didn't have many socks. And the last thing I need is that.
Okay, be honest. Did you get him back by secretly next time he went out taking one of his socks and wearing it?
Well,
in the same way?
That'd be ridiculous.
Just so that you're even.
And what? And wait for him to walk in the room.
No, but just do it, and then so that he never knew, but you could secretly always know that you'd got.
Waving your hands in the air. Look at me! Look at me!
I like the idea that whenever one of us has a private moment, like on our own, the other one walks in and the other guy's wearing the sock. But no, I didn't. I'm not like that. Little things like this were starting to cause a bit of tension. We also saw differently on the rule that all students must buy a plastic sheet for their bed. There was no chance I was spending my money on this. I had a largely good control of my bladder. What they wanted us to do was buy a plastic mat sheet for the bed.
Who did? The university?
The university, yeah.
And this was standard?
This was standard thing that went on.
That is so weird. My university didn't have that.
Maybe it's something with Southampton students in particular, then that's a problem.
But where do you buy a plastic sheet?
Well, I don't know. I wasn't having any of it.
And the plastic sheet goes under the...
Under the duvet, so that if worse comes to worse after a night out, it doesn't ruin the bed.
Wipe on, wipe off.
Yes, yes. I also had to allow a small amount of money for relevant fancy dress, although tonight was a toga party, and that could easily be done on the cheap.
Wear the plastic sheet.
Could do, yeah, yeah. Be see-through, though. I got a girl I lived with to help construct my toga wear. She had skills and wrapped my bedsheet around me. I was pressured into going out that night with no pants. It felt liberating but risky.
Why pressured?
Because it was like, everyone thought it'd be funnier, all the lads, to go out in a toga and it would just be generally more risky and a bit more exciting if we went out with no pants on.
Were you wearing the one sock?
I've known the sock was not on. No. No. It was just the toga sheet and then nothing underneath. I also had a small green crown that I fashioned from a bush. You know, like the Romans do.
Yes, like the Romans do.
All that covered me was my bed sheets, and it was flapping around a lot.
What?
No, the sheets.
Right, OK, just to clear that up.
That night's toga party was good fun. But I was massively out of my depth in learning all the rules of drinking my beer. When someone dropped a coin in my drink, I was instructed to save the queen, which involved drinking my pint fast to catch the coin in my teeth. When doing this, if someone grabbed my pinky finger, I would be made to have another drink. I learnt by my mistakes, though. It was on the third pint or so that I realised the pinky rule. So if you're holding a glass and you're drinking, you know how your little finger might just sort of stray from the glass?
Who
if someone
like
grabbed...
that? No, only weirdos have the little finger up.
No,
like people
you just
who
naturally
drink tea
do
out of teacups and go, oh, hello.
No, you just naturally
pipes?
Do it.
Do you?
Yeah, I don't
do
drink
need
pints.
You all
like...
your hands to grip it.
No, he doesn't do a full grip. He has one small finger sticking out.
There's one little finger sticks out, and if someone grabs that...
Off of old ladies in Victorian times
yeah,
drinking
I was
tea.
Say, only people who go, hello, do that.
No, they don't. No, they don't. It's a blokey thing. You can drink your pint
it's
with three fingers.
It's not manly to have your little finger poking up when you're drinking a pint.
No, you know what? Loads of blokes will be doing this now. What I'm doing is like, no, that doesn't feel
no,
right.
It doesn't.
That doesn't
it feels
feel right.
Really
no, it's
awkward.
Not, no, but you're seeing it wrong. It's not just the thumb and first finger that you're drinking with. You're
no,
drinking
I know.
With
you're drinking
fingers.
It with three and the thumb, but then you've got your little finger poking up like a...
Yeah, and then if someone grabs that, you have to net your pint.
People trying this in traffic right now will look really weird.
Yeah, but I'm sure a lot of blokes know what I mean here.
But if they're someone, not doing that.
If someone grabs the pinky, it's a bad, bad thing.
Stop doing that action.
But the most awkward time of the night came when I was mid-toga party. Things were going well. I was with a couple of lads I have met, and much like the Romans, we were attempting to take over. My cardboard sword was reasonably sized and impressive.
That sounds like one.
And had helped us to make contact with a couple of girls. In fact, our dancing was going down so well, we were dragged up on stage to dance alongside some of the second year reps. It was an honour, and the seal of approval we needed to progress in Freshers' Week.
And what dance were you doing?
I'll carry on. I kept it simple, stacking shelves, doing the lawnmower, and honouring the crowd with my sword. But as the song finished, the sound of drums started once, and then again. The reps got excited and started to derobe. It was the Baywatch theme. And as I looked around, this looked to be the signal to take your clothes off.
Oh. Hang on, do you need the theme?
If you've got it to hand, I suppose
not
you
if it
probably
means
do,
he's
going to
take
you?
His clothes off again.
I've always got it to hand.
Well, this is weird because now that I've graduated from uni, when I hear this song,
is
I
it
am
one of, like,
meant
one of those
to derobe.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Is it one of those subliminal things that you hear this bum, 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 and you're like, okay, unzip that.
But if you just play the like, don't play at all, then I don't have to get completely naked, do I? I was aware that I was hanging free, but there was little I could do. I removed my robes and tried the best I could to cover up with my sword. I looked to my left and realised that the guys I had gone out with had actually lied. They had boxers on. I'd been stitched up. I also did not feel that the intimidating situation caused by the onlooking crowd had done me justice. I felt like I was giving a false representation of myself downstairs.
What?
What?
Why? No, wait.
What do you mean?
What I mean is I wasn't prepared for the situation that I was going to have
and
to derobe.
How do you normally prepare?
No, what I just meant is I don't think what happened that night did me justice.
Right.
Right.
But I'm intrigued by this normal kind of warm-up routine that you appear to do, which you're not telling us.
People got the wrong idea about me that night.
Have you normally got one you use on nights out?
What do you mean?
Well, a different
one.
I don't know.
Like, girls have things that they put in their bra. Do you ever...
Oh, no. I never need to reinforce
chicken fillet.
The... No. I think... I think what it was is it was an intimidating experience for, you know, someone who'd been there shy of a week.
So you're naked completely on stage with some blokes in boxer shorts.
Yes.
So you're, like, the main, like, feature.
I was... Yes. I was annoyed at them for... I felt let down, one, embarrassed, two, three, not particularly proud of myself.
No.
I stood on stage with nothing on but a laurel wreath and flip-flops for the entirety of that Baywatch song. It was a great night, though, and it had taught me some valuable lessons that would see me through uni. Always wear underwear under your toga and never let anyone grab your pinky.
I very much enjoyed that. I'm really pleased
Welcome back.
Welcome back.
There we are.
That was lovely. Thank you.
No worries.
Shall we have the theme tune at the end?
Yeah, bosh it one more time.
Give that
maybe.
Another airing, shall we?
Go on.
Hi, bosh banter in Prague. I've dressed up as a Smurf. I've swapped lives with a German. Bought strip pens in France. I've covered teachers in sunscreen. Nearly drowned in some foam. I had a naked massage. Me and my mates had a laugh. I did 24 years at the tap end. At the tap end.
I like the theme tune, it makes it more of a thing. More tap end. Wednesday at 1:45 in this brand new season.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Oh, what's occurring time? Let's go. So Chris is trying to get some monies by calling up Deborah Meaden and trying to get her to invest with some great business ideas. Now, Chris, remember that great app you came up with?
It was a good one.
This is good, this one, to impress Meaden.
Who's that man? It's an
Sorry?
App. This app uses facial recognition software to identify people's faces. See someone on the street or in a club, you want to know their name. Shazam, that man. No, Shahu, that man them.
Or ask them what their name is.
Or you could ask them their name, yes,
yeah.
But...
Shahu, that man. And then there was the one where I think you maybe approached it a bit wrong.
Hello, Chris.
Female urinals. Talk to me.
Don't say that.
They're
as like
already invented, aren't they?
Well, yeah, that's what people were saying.
Yeah.
Sometimes it was just really wrong.
Are you into your erotic fiction?
No. Listen to this.
Hello, Chris.
Female urinals. Talk to me.
I still love that the best. And then we had this one. Oh, we're going to do it now. Sorry. I was about to play today's one and go, we had this one, but it's not. It's today's one. So, another idea has been suggested to Deborah Meaden our favourite dragon. But how long would Deborah Meaden let Chris stay on the phone for before deciding, I'm out? A, 25 seconds. B, 2 minutes 25 seconds. Or C, she invested £650,000 in his idea. Now, if that had happened, I would have thought that Chris may have mentioned it before now on the show today. Or maybe you're just keeping
it... I don't want to give anything away.
Well, maybe you're just keeping it quiet, I was going to say. Someone says, I had already guessed 2 minutes 25 seconds before you mentioned the options. OK, so you're going for B. That's Wyle in Glasgow. If I was Mrs. Mead, I would just invest to shut him up. C says... Snoddy and Skipton.
That is going to happen sooner or later, isn't it? It's like when people come to your door asking for money, like sooner or later, you're like, oh, here's a pound, just go away.
Go. I think B, 2 minutes 25, Jason and Claire driving home from Stoke. 25 seconds, that's A, from Luke in Southampton. What are you saying, Becky?
I'm going to say C, because I think there's only so much a woman can take.
So she agrees to give, of her own money, £650,000 investment.
You would as well, though, if Chris is calling you up at every hour of the day.
No, because I don't have that much money. She clearly does. Have you seen her power suits? They look expensive. A, B or C? Here's Chris calling Deborah Meaden again, the poor, poor lady.
Hello?
Mrs. Mead? Chris? Remote-controlled iron.
Oh, for goodness sake. Chris?
Ironing is long. With this iron, you would put the shirt on the board and the iron would move up and down automatically.
Chris, how many ideas is this?
It's hands-free ironing. It's the future.
How many ideas have you given me so far?
A few.
A few too many?
Okay.
Bye.
If you said A, 25 seconds, she really wasn't biting there at all with that one. Can I hear that again, please? That's genius.
Hello?
Mrs. Mead?
Chris?
Remote-controlled iron.
Oh, for goodness sake. Chris?
Ironing is long. With this iron, you would put the shirt... on the board and the iron would move up and down automatically.
Chris, how many ideas is this?
It's hands-free ironing, it's the future.
How many ideas have you given me so far?
A few.
A few too many?
Okay.
Bye.
Oh, you didn't get her on a good day there, did you?
I might try her again at some point. Oh. I think she was just having a bad day.
So if you said A, 25 seconds, give yourself 10 well-earned Scott Mills points.
Ow! What's a kitty?
Well, there is love for the new season of 24 Years at the Tap End, which is always good. Adam's been on. He is agreeing and saying a pinky finger up while drinking a pint is perfectly acceptable and normal. Oh, hello.
I stand corrected.
Mike from Derby's just tried it. Can you stop sending in pictures of you trying it? Because it looks a bit weird on a picture.
It's never good when we get loads of little fingers on the text,
no.
Is it?
But it is punishable if caught.
If someone grabs
the pinky.
As a student, I think.
Yeah.
Ben in his van agrees. I drink with a little finger up all the time, but not like that. Oh, a little finger out, but not like that. I see what you've done there, yeah. So, if you enjoyed Chris's story with his cardboard sword and his toga and his little finger poking up, then make sure you listen Wednesday at 1:45. It's the new season of Tap End. Just so you can put it in your Filofax or other 80s-based diary, it's Tap End Mondays and Wednesdays at 1:45. Innuendo Bingo Tuesdays and Thursdays at 1:45. Just so you can make plans around those things.
Scott Mills, BBC Radio 1.
So we've been doing this little test recently to see whether or not you would make a good parent. You can play along with this now. Maybe you're not thinking about having kids at the moment. Maybe you're, like, really young. But Becky and Chris have been pretending they are parents. Chris would like to point out this is just pretending and that you don't actually have a son together, do you?
No.
But the test is, would you be able to go to a school orchestra recital and not laugh if there were slightly wonky trumpets? It must happen a lot. We have to sit there, straight-faced, and then you get a bum note. I would laugh straight away. What's your imaginary son called?
Maximus Aurelius.
Yes.
Chris picked a name.
I really like that name.
It's a strong name, and he's a strong child.
He's abnormally strong for his age.
Now, I understand that Maximus has changed instruments since the last recital, and the music teacher has told him that the tuba is really not for him.
He's going to have to update his Twitter accordingly, because at the moment his profile picture is tuba rules.
I can't believe he's got a Twitter. Did you allow this?
Has someone made him a Twitter account?
No, I thought you'd set it up.
No, I didn't.
Did you though, Chris?
No, I swear, that's not me.
So this is one of our listeners that set up a Twitter account for your fake son.
Mm. I mean, it's not an easy one to search, is it? Maximus Aurelius.
No.
I'm not even sure on the spelling myself.
His profile says, I play the tuba for my legendary school orchestra, son of devoted parents Becky Huxtable and Chris Starr.
Amazing. So this has got a bit...
His last tweet was, my tuba brings all the boys to the yard. Like, Maximus.
He's such a legend.
I know.
He's seriously.
And how old is he again?
I thought he was only five or six.
Yeah.
Okay.
But what a hero, eh?
This has surely got to be expensive if your kid keeps changing instruments. One minute it's the tuba. Because I understand now he's taken up the cymbal.
He has, yes.
That's got to... I mean, with him being such a strong child, that's got to be annoying for you at home. He's bashing the cymbal.
That's why he's doing it, because of his abnormal strength. He can lift up the two cymbals and crash them together with force.
Right.
He's really good like that.
Well, you must be very proud. So, we've got another school recital here. Give this a go at home. See if you can remain straight-faced through this next Maximus Aurelius orchestra recital. See if you'd make a good parent. Listen for him on the cymbals today. So, all the parents are sitting down. The room has gone dark. We're in the school hall. The headmaster's making a slightly awkward speech. That's me.
It's not hard to do the cymbal, is it?
No.
It's exciting. Me and Becky are both here today.
Yeah.
Not just one of us.
Are you holding hands and being proud parents?
We're not, because it's too hot in there and she's got sweaty hands.
Go on.
No, I'm not holding hands.
No, I think you should.
Done this before,
no. No, go on, hold hands.
No, this really creeps
my arms
really
and my legs.
Okay, give her a little kiss.
Well, it's health and safety now.
Give her a
loving
kiss.
She knows I've just been to the toilet.
That's
and
your
no,
wife.
No, we're one of those couples that's only together for the sake of the children.
No, well, that's not true.
Is it separate beds? Is it separate beds?
Yeah.
So that happens, doesn't it, after a certain age?
Yeah.
It's bunk beds.
It's not bunk beds.
You're not sleeping bunk beds.
Anyway, so go on, just hold her hand.
I'm reaching out to her right now, but she's not having any of it.
Look, folded arms.
I pulled my imaginary curtain across.
She's angry because...
Were you late?
Something happened on the way, yeah.
Okay. So the headmaster's on.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the school orchestra recital. And here's the school orchestra.
Clap. Oh, there he is on the stage, little Maximus.
Legend.
Here he goes. Can you keep a straight face? It's your son. Poker face. You right there, Chris?
I think he makes this song.
Oh, God, it's gone really wrong now, has it? You must be so proud, you two.
Oh, he's a legend. Listen to this.
There he goes. The Scott Mills Daily. So, today's show introducer...
You might not know this, but I got fresh with Lily Allen on a plane.
Ben?
Yeah?
So when you say that you got fresh with Lily Allen on a plane... Do explain.
She gave me a chewing gum.
Oh, like breath fresh.
Yeah.
That was quite misleading.
I'm sorry.
I like it.
You're on a flight with her, right?
I was, yeah.
Were you sat right next to her?
I was.
Did you plan that?
No. It was EasyJet as well, so she must have had a little budget for that trip.
Where were you going?
The south of France.
So it's you and Lily Allen on an EasyJet flight to, I'm guessing, Nice.
That's correct, yeah.
Yes. That's well posh.
I know.
So what happened on the flight?
It took 2 hours. What do you mean? What happened?
It took 2 hours. No, yeah. I mean, like, what happened between you and Lily? Did you chat?
Yeah, briefly, yeah. She gave me a gum. A Wrigley's Extra.
What's she trying to say about your breath?
I don't know. She's just being polite, I think.
What was the convo?
Just general. She was going to in a show.
Was it spearmint or peppermint?
Spearmint, the greeny one.
Yeah, good choice. Mm.
She's a classic spearmint, isn't she?
Oh, she is.
So did you say you're Lily Allen?
No, I didn't know. I was a little bit shy, actually, because I'm quite a fan.
Did you make the first move or Lily?
I made the first move. I said hello. And she said hello back. And she asked me where I was going, and I told her that I was going on holiday. And we just had a little chat.
Surely you're both going to the same place.
That's what I thought. Yeah. Was that niece, you?
Where are you going?
Where are you going? It's always good to check when you get on a plane that the person next to you is going to the same place.
Where are you going? Milan. Oh, rubbish, wrong plane.
So that little boy, he went to Rome. Do you remember? Did you read about that?
Yes. Mm. See, all their planes look the same, so you could have easily boarded the wrong one.
Exactly, yeah.
So it wasn't awkward at all for the two-hour flight?
It wasn't, no. She was with a friend as well. The friend was lovely.
Were you in between her and the friend?
No, I was on the end, and her friend was next to me, and she was on the window.
Because that would have been weird. They would have been talking over you all the way through.
No. Could have got some gossip, I'm sure.
I was on a plane the other day with a couple, but I was in the middle. I don't know who did the seating plan over there. So, but as I told you, in the end, I just had to relax into the fat.
Yeah.
Did you not offer to move so that they could sit together?
They seemed happy with my seating arrangement.
Wouldn't you move?
Yeah.
Why would... That doesn't make any sense.
I did offer. They were like, no, we're fine. I was like, okay.
Did they know who you were and they just both wanted a bit of you? Like,
Scott Mill sandwich.
It was a Scott Mill sandwich. It very much was. So, Lily Allen.
Yes.
Millionaire pop star.
Multi-millionaire, multi-platinum, yes.
Did she push the boat out and have one of those slightly burnt cheese and ham toasties?
She had a panini, she did, and I had one as well.
Yes. Did she get the meal deal?
I'm not sure.
You know when you get the crisps as well and a drink?
Yeah.
And did she buy the teddy or maybe the aircraft? You know, like the little toy aircraft you can get?
I don't think she did.
Who actually buys those? I've always thought that. They're always in the magazine. It's like, yeah. Why would I want that?
Well, she could afford to buy the actual plane.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Why would I want a small plane model? It's really weird. And I've never seen anyone buy one.
I actually work for an airline, cut a long story short, and we do get people buying them all the time.
Do you?
Yeah.
And what do they do with them? Oh, well, that's the plane I went on.
Yes.
With the chewing gum, what happened then? So did she just all of a sudden lean over and go,
you might want one of these?
See, I've told a bit of a fib. It was a friend that gave me one, but they were Lily Allen's chewing gum.
So Lily Allen passed the chewing gum to the friend, and the friend passed it to you?
Right. Yeah, and then I took one, and then that was that.
Right, you bigged up yourself there by saying that Lily Allen actually passed it to you, and that's not
true.
No, she didn't. She went through an intermediary.
Yeah, third party, but it was still hers.
Still from her pocket?
Yeah, exactly. From her purse.
So do you keep in touch?
No, I did tweet her, actually, after the flight. We shouldn't tweet back,
no,
which I found quite rude.
They never do they? Were you hoping that you might hang out at her pop star mansion in Saint-Tropez?
I was hoping for a little VIP pass, you know, to the show, you know, a few drinks afterwards.
Yeah.
Was her friend called Matt Fincham?
No, it was a woman.
Oh, easy mistake.
Are you sure?
When he puts that tinted moisturiser on, you can't tell. Right, well, it's really good to speak to you. Thank you, Ben.
No problem at all.
And thanks very much for introducing the show today.
You're welcome.
Love you, bye. Scott Mills, BBC Radio 1. Hi, Hattie.
Hello.
Where are you?
I'm in Cambridge.
What are you saying about the school orchestra recital?
Oh, my gosh. Mine were all like that. They were all terrible.
Were they? What did you play?
Well, I took up the violin at the age of, like, 7. But my mum told me that I had to practice outside in the garden or give up. But it was winter at the time, so you know.
I don't care if it's -5. Get outside. Were you awful?
Yes, quite frankly.
So you can relate to that?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. In fact, I mean, when I got to high school and started singing in the school choir, my mum stopped coming because of the violins again. So I don't know if she just has some kind of vendetta against violins or.
Right. Do you play any instruments now?
No, I sing. I used to sing in a gospel choir, but I don't anymore.
Oh, I always wanted a gospel choir to sing with me.
It's so good. It was so much fun, and we were brilliant, you know. I'm going to be modest about this.
We actually really need a gospel choir for the Tap End theme tune.
Yeah. Did you hear the Tap End theme tune earlier? It's really good, but I think it would benefit, as most things do, from having a gospel choir on it.
Yeah, that would sound so cool.
Do you think?
Yeah, absolutely.
And you can probably hook me up with the right people.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
yeah. Just
sure. Yeah. Right, imagine this, Hattie, but with a gospel choir on it.
I've boshed banter in Prague, I've dressed up as a Smurf, I've swapped lives with a German, bought strip pens in France, I've covered teachers in sunscreen, nearly drowned in some foam, I had a naked massage, me and my mates had a laugh, I did.
This is where the choir come in now.
24 years at the tap end.
It would be epic.
24 years.
You can imagine them all, can't you? It'd be awesome.
At the tap end.
Nice idea, Hattie.
It'll be just like Sister Act.
Yeah, same. And that's never a bad thing.
Never.
Love you, bye.
Love you, bye. BBC Radio 1.
The Scott Mills Daily. I was just saying, I went to a really nice restaurant at the weekend and I came out thinking, that was a really, really nice meal. And now I've worked out why. The food was quite nice, but the waitress... And this isn't normally my kind of thing, as you know, but the waitress was really kind of flirty. And I've kind of worked out that you walk away from there and you go, that was nice, because the best waiters and waitresses are the ones where they make you think that they fancy you. And that's what she was doing. There was like a little smile here, a little kind of flirty comment here and there, a little bit cheeky sometimes. And I thought, you want the tip.
Did she touch you?
Not the tip. You know what I mean? Just money at the end.
Did she... how was she flirty?
She was kind of like just a little bit sarcastic and kind of...
Is that how you like them?
Yeah, generally. You know when someone's a bit cheeky and you're like, yeah. But she didn't fancy me at all. But I think that a lot of blokes would walk away from a meal if they were me going, yeah, she blatantly wanted me. She didn't at all. She was just being a good waitress because the best ones are the ones where they make you think that they fancy you, even though they clearly don't. And I thought about it for a second afterwards. I was like, no, she didn't want me, but she just wanted a...
Have you been a waitress?
Yes.
And did you flirt?
Yeah, because if you flirt, it's like being a barmaid. If you flirt, you get better tips.
And did you do that?
Yeah.
All the time?
Yeah.
See, you're a good waitress or a good barmaid.
Yeah, but I'm doing it for the extra money.
For the tip, yeah.
But I wouldn't fancy you if you came into my restaurant.
Oh, cheers, thanks so much. Right, we got the orchestra recital coming soon.
Would you feel the same if the waiter or waitress was like older? Like 40 years older than you?
What?
Like, say it was you were in a cafe and like it was a 65-year-old woman.
Yeah.
I've been generous to you there.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Say the waitress was 10 years older than yourself.
How rude! Probably
Did you
not
still
so
think,
much. No.
That was a lovely meal. She was so flirty with me.
I think that's just an old lady being quite friendly.
She was really sarcastic.
I loved it. The Scott Mills Daily. Dun, 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 dun. Okay, it's time for Real or No Real. Points ahoy if you get these right. Some of these facts are actual Uber facts off of Twitter, and some of them are made up by Marlon Dingle off of Emmerdale, who does have a website and a Twitter, which I do follow, where he just likes to make stuff up and fake facts. So, are these Marlon Dingle ones, i.e. not real, or Uber fact ones, real? I like this game. Just because I like the idea that P. Diddy hasn't received any posts since 1977 because he changed his name so much. Here's your first one. Real or no real? Play along. 10 points each time you get it right. Chris, keep score.
Fish have dandruff caused by their scales that flake off, and it's impossible to filter all traces of it from drinking water.
Oh, wow.
Whoa. That is rank.
Yes, it is. But is it real or no real?
There is bit. I remember when I had fish. I had two. One was called Jaws 2 and one was called Finley. And there was this stuff that appeared on the top of the fish bowl, which was a bit like dandruff. Mm.
No,
but
I don't...
I'm not thinking... I can't
My Roger
it
hasn't
is.
Got any dandruff.
Is Roger the fish still alive?
Yeah, he's so big now.
Is he?
I had to get him a double... like a tank, twice as big.
You got one with a pump? You know, like the...
posh ones?
Yeah.
Yeah, the pump bit goes up the middle.
Oh, wow.
But does Roger have a flaky scalp?
No. But I got him the right shampoo.
I'm saying real.
I'm saying not real.
That is no real.
Okay.
Keep scoring.
Keep score.
You can do it on this napkin if you want.
Yes, right.
Can I just ask, is it the law that boys have to call their goldfish Jaws?
I called mine Jaws too.
Well, it's... yeah, same. And next, real or no real?
Time is the most commonly used noun in the English language.
Hmm.
Oh, I forget what a noun is. It's not a doing word, is it?
No.
A name? No, it's not the most popular name.
It's not a name.
No.
Oh, I don't know. What did you say, real?
I'm saying not real.
Oh, okay, I'll say real.
Real!
Yeah.
Wow. Surprising. Are you ready for your next one? Here we go.
1.7 billion cups of coffee are consumed every day worldwide.
Whoa.
Real.
Oh, yeah, I can believe that. The thing is, there's no way of working this out, is there? There really isn't. It's complicated maths. I'm saying real.
That is real.
Yes. Wow. Did you say real?
Yeah.
Better not be cheating.
What's the scores?
You've got 20, I've got 20.
And next.
Elastic in underwear will last twice as long if you refrigerate your underwear after washing.
Ooh, good tip. Because some of mine are well baggy.
That's nice to know.
Hi boys and boys and ladies. The elastic's not what it was.
Not real.
Gross. I just gross myself out.
It does change in heat, doesn't it?
Right?
Elastic.
I don't want to think about it.
I suppose it would get tighter because it would be...
Imagine my baggy no elastic pants.
Your wise.
My wise?
Your wise, as you call them.
I don't call them wise.
You do. You're like, oh, I've got the same wise on as I had yesterday.
I don't call them wise. Real or no real?
Real.
Not real.
No real.
Here we are. You're full of scurrilous rumour today, which isn't true.
And next. Before getting into folk music, Jeff Mumford and his sons ran a cobbler's in Droitwich Spa.
Cobblers, they're still on.
Not real.
What is a cobbler?
Like off of shoes.
Shoes. What do you mean?
Like they do like shoe repairs and that.
So, oh, I thought they were like, you know, the people who deal with horseshoes. I always thought that was a cobbler.
No, that's got a different name.
Anyway, before they started making farm music, were
blacksmith.
They cobblers?
That's a blacksmith.
Yeah.
Are they still on?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mumford and Sons classic cobblers. Real.
I think so as well.
No real.
That is no real.
Oh, wow.
And that is Oh What's Occurring. Final points on real or no real?
I got 20. Becky got 40.
Well done, Becla. The Scott Mills Daily. Lewis has been on Twitter, and also Liam, saying that they're a sucker for the flirty waitress, works in shops as well. Is there something we can do with Chris here where maybe we dress you up as a waiter?
Hang on.
And we can range it with somewhere in the local area. And you flirt outrageously with one table because you're really good at flirting.
Is this not a better idea with Becky?
Why?
Well, because firstly, you've got previous experience doing this.
Yeah.
You've been a flirty
waitress.
It's
not funny if I do it. It's funnier if you do it.
Where am I going to get the things from?
Well, we'll sort that out. Oh, the things.
What things?
You don't need those.
Balloons?
No, you don't need them. Just need to flirt.
Balloons?
So you...
When have you seen a waiter with balloons?
Well, no, I thought you insinuated that I had to be a waitress for this.
Oh, to get the tips.
Oh, no,
no,
I don't.
It works both ways.
Oh, no, great, yeah.
Yeah, you can just be a waiter. And you flirt outrageously with one table, and then the other table you're not bothered by, and see how it works.
Okay.
I think we could put it to the test, like a scientific experiment. The Scott Mills Daily. I really like that idea as a feature. I'm actually writing that down now, and we will do that at some point, where Chris becomes a waiter and has a little flirt. More tomorrow, 1 till 4, live or listen on this podcast. Scott Mills,
BBC Radio 1. BBC
Radio 1.
BBC Radio 1 free downloads. Download them all for free at the Radio 1 website.